If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and it is a, it's now a sunny Monday here.
Yeah, it's turning into a really nice day, yeah.
Welcome back to Pittsburgh.
Yes, you as well. You stayed a little longer than I did. I hope everyone had a great Easter. We were outside almost all Easter Sunday. Didn't expect that at all. And today's pretty darn nice, too.
Yeah, I actually drove back. I flew down. My family drove down to Orlando. And then we spent a few extra days there and drove back on Saturday and got here. And
Yeah. Good stuff.
The weather down there was great.
The weather was great.
Yeah, the weather most of the way back was great.
Until you said you hit a little something at the end there,
hit
right?
Hit a storm right in West Virginia, like as soon as we crossed over the border, that hail
you
and
could, like,
lightning.
Sniff home, and then all of a sudden it slowed you down quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, the Yikes. Lightning was, going through the mountains, the lightning was like...
Oh, really? Like, lighting the sky up?
Yeah, it was. It was interesting.
I bet. Oh, and all that was a good trip. You know, yeah. We learned a lot. We had good times, you know, had some good conversations, too, and... There's some luxurious things about it, too, which is pretty cool. And, you know, so, yeah, travel for me wasn't tremendous either. It's a spring break. Every plane was shoulder to shoulder. It took us forever to fly. But, you know, we got it done.
Yeah. And got to see, you know, and hear a lot of different stuff. And that affects the draft stuff. And this is the time of year for the draft.
Big time.
That now that we're into April. Happy April, by the way.
Yeah, happy April.
It's draft month. Now's when you start to hear this guy has this or that guy has that or you know, those little kind of things that some of it you can believe, some of it you don't.
There's a lot of lying season, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it's also been a long process and some real things do come out that have been kind of hidden or under the scenes, you know?
Yeah. So, for example, I was somebody said something about the center prospect from –
Jackson Powers Johnson,
the center prospect from Oregon. Well, he has this came out. It was on Twitter the other day, and I guess it was Trey Essex that said it on somebody else's podcast. That he has a head. He's a head case or a head problem. Well, it's concussions.
That doesn't mean he's got a bad noggin or he's not a good guy.
Yeah,
but he has, from what I understand, he has concussion concerns.
Yeah,
you know, so that could drop him on some boards. It could not on others. You
right.
Know?
So those. That, I mean, when, because the first thing you hear, well, he's got head issues. Okay. Is he...
he could be taken a lot of
different
head
case?
Ways.
Is
right.
he,
yeah,
you know, that
right.
kind of stuff.
Can he not trust them? I mean, or does he have medical issues, which sounds like could be the case.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know that 100%, but it's out there.
And you don't know how true that is. You don't know if it's if it's a concern. That was honestly one of the issues with Troy Polamalu.
Oh, really? Okay.
There were multiple concussions in college.
Okay.
You know, and you know, he had a couple of concussions in the pro level as well. But there were, you know, did that cause him to fall on some teams' boards? Did it not?
Probably.
It didn't affect his career in a major way. Yes, he had some concussions, you know, at the pro level, but
Stewart's pretty happy with the pick nonetheless.
Right. Yeah.
You know. Right. Yeah. I'm not avoiding it at all. I just I always make this very clear. That you and I and
we don't know.
Nobody knows, right? I mean, frankly, Coach Tomlin doesn't know. The offense coordinators don't know. The doctors know, you know, or at least have a strong opinion.
You have to trust your doctors.
You're smart, yeah. The smart coaches and staffs will hire those doctors for a reason. They went to med school for a reason, and whatever they tell you, you should trust, you know, and
weigh it accordingly. This, when it comes to concussions, Pittsburgh is like the hub, the center. Like when other teams have concussion issues, they send their guys to the Steelers team doctors for concussion. You know, there's other doctors, obviously, that handle this guy does knees, and
a shoulder guy. Yeah. Guy, right, all the quarterbacks go to this dude.
Pittsburgh's a concussion hub of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like other teams, other sports send their guys to Pittsburgh to get checked out for concussion stuff.
That's a really interesting topic to me because I think a lot of people just think a team doctor is a team doctor, whether it's in Arizona, Chicago, New York, Seattle, whatever. But their specialty is just like anybody else, and I can't stress enough that, yes, these 32 teams are all NFL teams, but they're all 32 different corporations that handle things differently, that have other strengths and weaknesses. Some of it's geography. Some of it's just, you know, the strength and conditioning staff or the fields or whatever. They're all different, and some have a really strong history with shoulders and knees, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like I think we threw this out there last week. The running back from the Longhorns, from Texas. I forget off the top of my head, but he might be the first back taken. Well, the Cowboys team doctor did his surgery and they have a running back need. Like, it's not Scott. Why am I not? It's a short little name. He's a good player, and they're going to know more than anybody out there, of course.
Jonathan Brooks.
Brooks, okay. Yeah. So does that matter? Of course it matters.
Yeah,
you have a leg up, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, that kind of stuff. And a large part of that is because the UPMC mm-hmm. has done a lot of background,
mm-hmm.
You know, it with the concussion stuff. There's a concussion institute, and they study this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're at the forefront of this. And, of course, the Steelers employ some of those guys
why wouldn't you consult them to no end?
Absolutely.
Know, of course.
Absolutely.
So that doesn't mean if you pass on JPJ, he must have terrible concussion issues. But if you take them, that means they probably are pretty comfortable with them,
right?
You know, no matter where he goes.
Well, for example, so
maybe you get him later. Now
we're doing our second run through on the triple take,
mm-hmm.
and I've adjusted my interior offensive line rankings.
Okay,
I have moved Graham Barton and Zach Frazier ahead of Jackson Powers.
Did you
Johnson.
Really? Okay,
but I did that as much. Graham
Barton's
pro day was unbelievable.
I would say Barton's really impressive. You know, I mean, like, I like him more now than I did a month ago. I learn more or watch or whatever, I am more and more impressed.
Like, he ran in the 4.8s at his pro day.
Yeah, and he's big.
And he's big, and he's...
he can play tackle. He can play guard. I mean, like, maybe he's a 4 or 5 position player. Right, yeah, yeah, no. I mean, maybe... I would say a 4 position player, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, right.
You might just draft him and say, okay, we're gonna put him in one of the other spots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's gonna start somewhere.
I mean, I don't think he'll get to the Niners, but like, they have 4 open spots that he would help him with. I keep looking at Miami. I keep looking at Dallas, where he's going to be a puzzle piece for some team. Maybe the Steelers.
The Steelers.
Right. I mean, he would fit in. Smart, tough, versatile, big, you know, not to like?
I think when we did the comp, there was a thing we did last week in the comp on him, like somebody's comped him to David DeCastro. I'm like, I'd take another DeCastro,
right.
20.
Yeah. Center capable, and with some right tackle experience. That's not too bad, right?
Yeah.
We'd take a versatile DeCastro.
Yeah, sign me up.
And that's not, you know, I forget what we were joking about last week, a bigger Steve Smith, a faster Larry Fitzgerald, you know, a combination of Barry Sanders and Jim Brown, you know, right? I mean, that's not really the comp. I mean, DeCastro was a mid-first-round pick coming out of Stanford, you know, was a really good prospect, not a top-five
Pro Bowl
type guy.
Yeah.
I mean, him as a prospect isn't much different than Barton.
Yeah. I mean, you'd take a mix of, you know, mm-hmm. Matt Williamson and Dale Lally.
That was right. I mean, it's a perfect radio host. It's a first-round pick all day long.
But I said in the thing, and it hasn't run yet, but I'm like, this is nothing against Jackson Powers Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I've just watched more and learned more about these two guys and
moved them up. Yeah.
I moved them up.
I would still have Frazier 3. Partially because I think he's center only.
Yeah,
I think that hurts him a little
bit.
Yeah. But I don't think you draft Powers Johnson and throw him a guard here either.
Right.
I mean, if you're looking at just from a Steelers light, I do think that hurts Frazier's stock a little bit and might help him fall to 51 or whatever, too. I mean, if there's not that many center needy teams, I also think he's quite as strong as those guys. I mean, just anchor, power, bull rush type. But he's also going to get stronger and he's getting stronger on that leg. But I hear you. I mean, I think the 3 of them are a lot closer than people think.
Yeah. No, I think
it's kind of the moral of the story. You know, I mean, that there's an awful lot to like about all 3. I like Bortolini, too. I mean, I like the Penn State kid. I mean, there's some centers in this draft that I don't think are – so we could spend a year talking about centers. And I actually did a podcast. It was like 20-some minutes, just all Steeler centers. So like, these are what's on the team, who's center capable. This is what's out in free agency. But if you look around the league, how many teams are starting a first or second round center? Not that many. You know, like if you even look at free agency this year, Biotish, the Raiders dude that they re-signed, the Titans guy that went to Miami. These guys are all mid-round picks. You know what I mean? Like there's not many Pouncies out there. I mean, Kelsey was a six or seven. I mean, so if you don't get the number one guy in the draft, that doesn't mean you can't find a very successful third or fourth round center for 8 years.
Yeah.
He won't be Dirk Dawson, folks. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's not going to be Webby.
Yeah, Bo Limmer, you know.
Yeah, that was the name that tipped my tongue, too. Right. Like, there's a lot of those guys that are capable, and two or three of them will be long-term starters.
Yeah.
And everyone just goes, well, that's the Kendrick Green approach. It's apples. They're two different years. Yeah. They're different human beings. Don't look at it that way. You don't have to get Creed Humphrey because he was number one on your board. A lot of other centers in the mid-rounds work out very well.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things that you do have to keep in mind here. You know, that's a lot of Steeler fans, just because they had heard the name, oh, Cedric Van Pran, Granger, got to take him. Well, he's a mid-round guy.
I think he's a little heavy-footed, too. You know, yeah. I mean, like, he's not one of my
favorites. He'll start for somebody.
Oh, yeah, somebody will like him, and I'm not knocking him. I just don't think he's a great fit here. If you get him at the right price, sure, he could be in the mix, you know, right.
But that's the name that they'd heard. You know, I'm looking here at the league just released its performance-based pay distribution.
You might need to explain that to people.
The top 25 guys on here. And if you look at this, these are guys who were probably mid to undrafted or later round draft picks who outperformed, who've been outperforming their contracts, their rookie deals.
I don't know if everyone realizes that even exists.
Yeah.
I think people get what you get.
So there's a pool, and this was part of the CBA, a pool of money put aside for these guys that, you know, if you outperform your contract, you get this amount of money.
But you can't be the first overall pick.
Right. I mean, these are not first round guys. Most of the guys on this list are guys at positions where you would look at and say they're undervalued.
I can see that.
Guards,
centers, safeties.
Yeah. Linebackers, off-ball linebackers, things of that nature.
You get in the fifth round and they play well.
Yeah.
You know.
For example, the Steelers have one guy here in the top 25, which is Dan Moore.
Okay. He played a lot of football for a mid-round pick.
For a guy who was a fourth-round pick. He got an additional $740,000.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you like John Simpson from Baltimore was the highest paid guy. He was a fourth-round draft pick. He got $974,000.
Wow. Okay. And then he hits free agency and he made a big buck going to, where'd he go? Jets, I think.
Yeah, sounds right.
I think so, yeah. A lot of stuff.
The second guy here is Reed Blankenship. He's an undrafted guy.
Okay.
In 2022.
He played a lot.
He got an additional $923,000. But Spencer Brown, Cordell Volson from Cincinnati, plays guard.
Yeah.
Kader Kehu from the Dolphins.
These are quality players. They're not household names because they weren't high picks and they don't play. They're not on your fantasy team, but you know, these guys are valuable.
But Luke Fortner from Jacksonville was the number.
Center.
Was the number four guy, five guy on here. He got an additional $872,000. He was a third-round draft pick.
Mm, yeah.
He's their starting center.
Yeah. Now, I bet there's a lot of examples if you'd look year after year. I bet, like, Biotish was his one of the year.
Quinn Miners is on you. I mean, just look on down. I mean, a lot of these guys were fifth, sixth, seventh-round draft picks, especially as interior offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And they get a lot of money, additional money out of this.
And I bet there's a fair amount of safeties, too, as you mentioned, you know, not to mention the special teams contributions, those guys. That's a pretty cool thing the NFL does, though. I mean, is it 25 names every year?
I think it's X amount of money? I think it goes beyond that. I think they only list the top 25.
So some of them might got 100 grand or something, which isn't chump change if you're a sixth or seventh round pick either, obviously.
Yeah, they have an index. Since they started this plan, there's been an additional $2.4 billion.
Wow.
Paid out.
I don't think it counts against the cap either. I think it's just like a bonus because you did well.
Yeah. And the league paid out an additional $393.8 million in performance-based pay this year.
Wow. Okay, that's bigger than I would have thought.
Yeah,
too.
So it's a lot. I mean, that's two salary caps, basically.
Yeah, right. So I'm sure there was a handful of Steelers that got them.
Yeah.
I mean, more than just Dan Moore.
Right. Yeah. So you
know, something.
They just list that top 25.
But that's almost $1 million a piece on those top guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, they were making good money there. You know, because they outplayed their contracts. And many of those guys were either undrafted or mid-round interior offensive linemen.
I wonder if Jalen Warren got something. Or
probably.
I bring him up because it sticks in my craw that he's had to pay some fines despite making so little money just for, quote, lowering his helmet. So and it's a totally different side note, but I want him to get every dollar he can get.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just the way – you'd like to see those later round running backs get, or undrafted running backs get
a little
something extra.
Yeah. I mean, early career Austin.
A little something for the effort.
A little something, you know, for the effort. No, but you're right. I mean, you can find centers and guards and safeties in these mid rounds.
Play for a long time. Yeah.
And it'll, you know, be more than adequate. And so this is when I did that center podcast. What I kind of wrapped up on it was, and I started by saying, guys, you're not going to have Dirt or Webby, or you know what I mean. But then I ended it by saying, okay, in Steeler history, probably the weakest position is tackle. You know, like when you line up, I mean, there's Hall of Fame quarterback after, you know.
You got guards and centers.
Woodson and Blunt. Yeah. I mean, it's insane.
There's only like six Hall of Fame centers, and they've had two of them.
And two of them are from here, right.
It might be the two best of all time.
They might have the two best corners that have ever lived.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, what, three Hall of Fame safety. I mean, it's crazy stuff. But tackle's the weakest spot, often because you can't get them. But this year you can, and if you have two bookends, well, then your guards can help your center.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you got Jones and, you know, Fashanu or whoever, you know, and they're what you think they are, and your guards are more than holding their own, you can live with Mason Cole at center or a fourth-round pick in this draft or whatever. I mean, just because, you know, Pouncey used to do single blocks all the time, that's a luxury.
Yeah.
You know? But if your tackles don't need help, there's a ripple effect too.
Absolutely. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go!
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
And we are back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt Miller on ESPN has updated his first round guys.
Okay. Yeah.
He's up to 18 now.
It's a big number. Yeah. I mean, like, we've done ours, including like a Barton that we talked about and even Power Johnson. We easily came up with 20 names we'd be happy taking at 20.
Yeah.
That didn't include Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy or, you know, those guys. We did include Harrison and, you know, Neighbors, but they're going to get picked.
Yeah.
So let's go through them. Yeah.
That's up from 16 guys he had listed in February when he did this.
Okay.
All right. So he has three quarterbacks.
So not McCarthy.
He has Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. Now, we know McCarthy's going to go high.
Before the Steelers pick.
Yes. Pretty good idea that maybe Nix and possibly Penix as well.
I would say Penix ran like a four in the high 4.4s, which I do not think he's that athletic on tape. I'm not so certain there won't be six quarterbacks in the first round. I'm not saying they'll all go in the top 19, but I could easily see six with the needs like the Raiders and Broncos have. And I mean, maybe one of them's a Levis situation at the top of, you know, sleep on it for a night and move up to the top of the second round or something like that. But I do think those guys are going to go high.
So that's good. I mean,
yeah,
you want that if you're a Steeler fan.
I think all those quarterbacks will go. Like, I definitely think they'll all be gone by the Steelers' second round.
And by the way, there's been some revisionist history out there regarding Kenny Pickett.
Mm, yeah.
That the Steelers reached to take him in the first round.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Nobody batted an eye when they took him in the first round.
No.
I mean, we went into that draft thinking Malik Willis might go second to the Lions. You know, I mean, like, just because it wasn't a good quarterback draft does not mean him at 20 was not a value pick.
Right.
On the day it was made. So, no, I hear you.
I guarantee if you went back and looked at Miller's.
Or Kite's
guys,
or whoever it was.
Yeah,
all these dudes, right.
Miller had Pickett as one of his top 15 or first round guys that year.
I bet he does, yeah. And he was in every first-round mock that anyone saw. So, no, I mean, that's like saying, well, Carson Wentz wasn't worth the second overall pick. They traded up to get him, and he they thought he was, and he had a couple good years. That doesn't mean you can't just you don't get that opinion after the fact.
Yeah,
and Kenny's career is not over.
Armchair quarterbacking there.
Yeah,
running back.
Side note on quarterback.
Yes,
I'm not predicting this, but I bet Spencer Rattler goes around the Steelers' second round pick too. I don't think he'll be there in the third,
especially
round
if those guys all go early.
Those guys start rolling. Yeah, I could see him falling pretty quick too.
Running back, none. Not surprising there. Wide receiver.
Running back's interesting for the Steelers, though, because I do think whoever pulls the trigger on the first one is going to open a tidal wave.
Yeah.
Because, like, 1 through 7, I know you've done your ranks, and the second time around, there's 7 or 8 to me that are almost all the same.
Yeah.
You know?
And they kind of all do something.
Yeah. There's the speed guy at Tennessee.
This guy catches the ball really well.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Wide receiver, there's 5.
Interesting. Who are 4 and 5? Thomas?
Harrison Adunzie. Malik Nabers, he has those guys 2, 3, and 4.
I might have them 1, 2, and 3, to be very honest with you.
He has Brian Thomas at 17, and he has a Donnie Mitchell at 18.
Okay. I mean, he's only talking about surefire first-rounders. Yeah. He's not talking about who will go in the top 32.
Right.
I agree with that. Mitchell scares me a little just because there's inconsistencies there. I mean, like, I don't know if I'd put him in this neighborhood. But I would put him in the is going in the first round in this draft neighborhood. I mean, like, I very much believe that. So I know you're a huge McConkey fan, and I'll be honest, I've been a little behind you on him. Since we saw each other in Orlando, I did more homework. He's going the first round, dude.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And his comps are Chris Olave and Tyler Lockett. Like, everyone's like, oh, he's Wes Welker. That's cute. No, he's not at all.
If you watch the combine stuff, and they had a size speed comparison stuff, it was the Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a similar size. Yeah. He's a little bit faster.
Like, he kills on, like, deep outs from the outside the numbers, not slot, you know, choice routes at all. I mean, his production's low, but there were injuries, and I bet he
played at Georgia.
I'd say he would have caught a lot more balls at 99% of the colleges in the world. I mean, Brock Bowers getting schemed up. They're winning by 50 in the fourth quarter. Handed it to some stud.
I mean, Adonai Mitchell transferred out of Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Guys do all the time. I mean, it's just impossible to get on the field.
How about this stat for Adonai Mitchell? In 5 career college football playoff games.
Okay.
He played in 5 of them, by
the way. That's unbelievable, too, yeah.
He had 5 touchdowns.
Wow. His highlights are as good as anyone on his list. Yeah. It's just
that's why their comp on him is George Pickens.
I see it. Like, I absolutely see it. I don't think that's unrealistic. Would you consider him a 20? See, I'm not avoiding it, but I would have to sit down with him and spend a lot of time, because there's routes he jogs, and that might just be like Texas saying, save your strength. I don't care. You know, like Corey Coleman used to not even leave the line of scrimmage half the time, you know, if he wasn't going on, if they were running the ball. They just said, save your strength. I mean, I didn't need to know how he's been coached.
Yeah, you just don't know. And you know, would you? That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
So you have George Pickens.
Yes.
Would you take another George Pickens?
Yes. And that's why I wanted Mike Williams. I think I want big body trees, go up and get it with the deep ball passing that the new quarterbacks, and you're going to run the ball like crazy. Yeah.
There's one tight end,
mm-hmm.
and that's Brock Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
And once Bowers goes, you may see another 50 picks
before there's
another tight end taken.
Yeah, he may be the only one before the Steelers pick in the second round.
I think that's 100% true.
You think? You don't think Texas has a chance?
He might be the only one before the third round begins.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that too. Coming up with my third tight end was
That was rough.
It was rough.
It was rough.
And 3rd through 8 are like all the same, basically, too.
Offensive tackles, he has 4.
Oh, that's light.
I think that's light, too. I think that's light.
I mean, that's just being a harsh grader, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he's smart.
Because those tackles are going to, I mean...
Yeah.
I could get to 7 tackles in the first round that I think, well, this guy might go in the first round.
And maybe not all of them would qualify as a first rounder any year, but I think they're pretty darn close.
I think they would.
Yeah. I mean, I think
because they're tackles.
I really think there's 6 or 7 that are on the same plane as Wright, who went 10, Broderick, and Johnson from Ohio State last year. Like, they would have just mixed in some order with these guys.
I'm with you.
Yeah, right.
So he has Joe Ault at 6.
Okay.
He has Fashanu at 11.
Mm-hmm.
He has Fuaga at 12.
Yeah.
And he has Fatanu at 16.
Okay. I mean, that's not Latham.
He doesn't have Latham as an S.
Yeah. I know people are worried about Latham. He hasn't worked out. I don't care what he runs 40 yards in.
Turn the tape on.
Right. I mean, do I care about his 40-yard dash at all?
No.
I'm sure it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
I don't care one bit.
No, right? I'm sure it's going to be 5'4" or something.
Yeah,
he's a right tackle.
He's this big around. I mean, he's not going to be fast. He's not going to open it up like Usain Bolt. I don't care one bit, right? If his vertical's not great either, I don't care.
For him, he probably didn't run because he didn't want to be compared to some of these guys.
Oh, right.
Who are, extreme runners.
They're extreme runners. I mean, they're thin, longer dudes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not going to work out like Alt.
No.
I mean, not even close. And they don't look the same. They do different things.
Yeah.
Now, it's probably good advice not to work out, but people are like, oh, it's a big red flag. I mean,
I'd take him at 20 cares? Right now.
No doubt.
If you said, as we sit here, Monday, April 1st, if you could have J.C. Latham at 20.
Yeah, you trade 20 for Latham? Yes.
Yes.
I'm saying yes. I think I would he's close it, to a run to the podium game.
I would do it for Fatanu. I would do it for Fuaga. I don't even love Fashanu. He was my fifth-rated offensive tackle. But sign me up.
At 20? Right. I mean, a year ago, he would have went ahead of the three I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, if it came out a year ago.
Sign me up for any of those guys at 20.
Yeah, amongst others.
Yeah.
I mean, that are in the mix. Yeah. No, I hear you.
Edge rushers, too.
Okay.
No interior offensive lineman, by the way.
Okay. I mean, I guess I get that.
I'd take Barton at 20.
Barton and, I don't know, I wouldn't make that trade today, but if you told me.
Depending on who else is available.
The Latham trade I'd make today.
Yeah.
20 is no longer, you know, belongs to Steelers and they have a guy named Latham. Yeah. I would not do that with the interior guys yet.
Edge rushers, two guys. Dallas Turner at 7, Jared Verse at 14.
Okay. I actually did a podcast today. We were just previewing all the D linemen in this draft. The more I watch Latu, this isn't going to apply to the Steelers at all.
Right.
Latu's so much better than all those other guys.
I
mean, just as a football player, I understand there's more to scouting. Trust me, I know there's more to scouting. Than
his floor is
so high.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so much better at the game right now than either one of those guys. I mean, especially the Bama dude. I mean, Turner's all, you know, all kinds of traits and might hit huge, but Latu is just wins every snap. I mean, he's so much better than all these guys. But there's other issues.
It's, you know,
overreact. He reminds me of Terrell Suggs. Remember when Terrell Suggs came out? Oh, he ran a 4.8, and he falls to the Ravens.
he's just a good football player.
He's just so much better. Yeah, he's really on his
and you
hand
see
usage
that a lot with
setting guys up and right.
A lot of the Polynesians are that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not racially stereotyped.
They're just
good football players.
Yeah, and their body types are different too. They have huge calves, and you know, I mean, they're
thick
just built over
and
right.
Just naturally strong,
naturally heavy, naturally heavy-handed. You know, like no doubt.
To me, like Verse, I mean, his backstory is unbelievable.
Yes,
he was barely recruited out of high school. He's a northeastern Pennsylvania guy. Went to the University of Albany, sunny Albany.
Yeah.
And played for your former coworker/boss, Greg Gattuso there.
Oh, is that okay? I didn't know that correlation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Played a couple years. He was a tight end coming out of high school, and they moved him to defensive end. And he just took off, and then Florida State says, "Yeah, we'll take him." That's
and he was
2 years
down
at
there
Florida
too.
State, 18 sacks, 33 and a half tackles for a loss. 2 years.
And I like him, but I also and he wins with power, but I don't know that his ceiling's super high. You know, like if he goes,
but
to,
I think the floor is
it's also really high too. Yeah, it is. I mean, I think he's a good prospect. I think he'll go in round one. I hope he goes in the first 19, but I think he's closer to Highsmith than Watt. You know what I mean? Which is
right.
It's also worth a mid first round pick.
Yeah. Defensive tackle. He has one, and that's Byron Murphy.
So I was going back and forth on this one too. I might like Newton better. So, Newton, Latham.
That's why I think when we're talking about this, we say there's 25 first-round guys.
Yeah. But Newton and DeJean in particular, there's no buzz in the media. They haven't worked out. Nothing new's happened.
Yeah.
Turn on Big Ten tape. Those guys are awesome.
Studs.
They're studs. And I don't think Newton has any chance to be a Steeler, nor should he be. But he affects the game more than Murphy.
Yeah.
He does.
I mean, if both of those guys went before 20, I wouldn't blink an eye.
Like the Bengals should be really considering one of those.
Absolutely.
Two. Yeah.
Linebacker, none.
Right.
Cornerback, only two. He didn't have DeJean in here. He has Terrion Arnold at 8, Quinyon Mitchell at 15. DeJean is a first round draft pick all day and twice on Sundays in my book.
100%. But I think we have to remember what his exercise is. I mean, he's saying the guys that are no doubt any year.
I get it.
Just give me a 40 time. I think he's working out on the 14th or something like that. And then the next time this comes out, he'll be on it. You know what I mean?
He's going to, I guarantee, I haven't seen him run. Okay. I've seen him run on tape.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's a 4.4 guy.
Yeah. And he knows, even if he doesn't run well at his pro day, maybe he's not all the way back. He rushed it. I mean, on tape, I have no doubt about his speed.
Yeah.
None.
He's faster. He was faster than everybody in the Big Ten, chasing him, trying to,
I mean, to be honest, Latham, Newton, DeJean, I'm not sure what workouts are going to tell us.
Right.
I mean, they just beat up people on the field time and time again, and are best player in the field all the time.
It's interesting the guys who haven't worked out aren't on his list.
Yeah. And I think that's just a scouting. I got to check the box.
Yeah.
You know.
No safeties.
Sure.
So that's your 18.
Who were the two corners, though? Arnold and Mitchell?
Oh, Terry and Arnold and Quinion Mitchell. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think there'll be plenty more that do go. I think DeJean, I think.
He has Arnold as his 8th overall prospect, by the way.
Really?
Mitchell's his 15th.
Who would be your bet, not who you would pick, to be first defensive player taken?
Probably the pass rusher. Probably.
Turner. I think so, too. But I think I'd take the corners ahead of him in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Maybe both those guys. Maybe even DeJean. But there you go.
Yeah. I don't love the pass. I mean, I haven't studied the pass rushers as much.
I haven't
spent
as much time on them either.
Because I don't think the Steelers are in that market. Mm-hmm. But, the cornerbacks I have.
Yeah,
so maybe there's a little bit of, you get a little jaded.
I mean, I think he's a 5-star that went to Bama. And there's obvious traits there. But he's under 240 pounds.
Yeah.
He's not as physical as some of these other guys. Yeah, he makes plays, but he also kind of disappears at times, too. And I don't know.
There were some of those questions, though, about Will Anderson coming out last year.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah, you just wonder in that Bama defense, because there's so many other dudes.
Sure.
That,
I mean, like the Georgia guys didn't produce.
Right.
I mean, there's too many of them getting the ball.
I mean, Turner had 10 sacks last year.
I know.
It's not like he didn't do anything.
Right. But to be the first defensive player off the board, I don't know if I want to be in that market. If I'm like Atlanta, where they had 9 or whatever.
No, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I would
But in most drafts, though, if you're getting the number one edge rusher at 8, you're like, I'll take
that. But I don't think he's a Bosa or a Garrett.
No, I don't think he is either.
Yeah, right.
But if he's, I mean, his comp is Josh Allen. If he's that.
Yeah, that's not a bad comp,
then you take him in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good comp. That's a similar type guy. And Allen, I think, went higher because that draft wasn't as strong with tackles and receivers and quarterbacks.
The tackles, receivers, and quarterbacks
are insane.
It's just crazy with this draft.
Yeah, it's really insane. And half the quarterbacks will hit. I don't know which half, but they're going to go high.
It might be less than half.
It might be less than half. I mean, look at the Mayfield-Josh Allen draft.
Speaking of that, did you see Greg Cosell's rankings on the quarterbacks?
No, but I've been reading every one of his write-ups on the Big 33 team. I didn't see his rankings, though. I know he's high on Daniels.
He has Jaden Daniels 1.
1. Wow.
I can't find it here anywhere, but
bring up another site.
He has Williams 3.
Really? Wow, that's
He has May 2, Williams 3. Then he has Nix and Penix. I think he has Penix, Nix, and then
McCarthy 6. Wow. I mean, I could understand all shapes and sizes. I mean, I really do get it. I'm cooling on Daniels a little bit, though.
I
think we disagree on him
I
a little bit.
I love him.
Yeah.
I bumped him down from 1 to 2 in my mock.
I moved him from 2 to 3.
I think he's pretty darn good.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player or I wouldn't take him. I wish he threw the middle field more. He isn't as creative as a Williams. I mean, but he also didn't have to be. It's another one of these.
He had two great receivers on the outside.
Awesome receivers and, the best O-line in the league. And I'm sure they told him, if your first read's not there, just take off like the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
And he had the best year in college football. You know what I mean? But there's stuff on tape you don't see. And I hate the way he takes hits. I mean, that needs to be. I mean, the owner needs to sit him down after they draft him.
I get it.
I'm just talking about amongst the elite players.
I just see Lamar Jackson there, and
I mean, they're game-changing plays.
Yeah, he can light it up running or throwing the football.
He can.
You know, if we redrafted that draft, that 2018 draft.
That the Baker, Allen, Lamar, Rosen, Darnold.
Lamar's probably number one.
Or Allen.
It's Lamar or Allen, one of the two. Yeah.
Right.
And they
and
weren't.
Then it's a distant.
Yeah, they
Baker
weren't. Or, you know, I don't even know if any of those other guys even make the. You know, maybe Baker makes the first round somewhere. But
yeah, right. I mean, Rosen's obviously was the biggest bust in recent memory, and Darnold's trying to hang on.
Yeah.
Right. But I think this class will go like that. There'll be a star or two, one or two that are okay, and I don't know. One thing I also hold against Daniels a little, as well as Nix and Penix, they're so much older. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they hit
their... bother me as much at the quarterback position, though.
It didn't used to, and it didn't with, like, Pickett or Purdy. You know, like, some of those guys have come in and played right away.
Yeah.
But you just wonder, what would Drake May look like when he's 24? Or
oh,
Caleb
I get
Williams,
it.
You know what I mean?
I
not
definitely
even holding
get
it against those guys, just more giving it a check to the others. You know,
like I was a 17-year-old.
Maybe pretty good.
I was a 17-year-old freshman.
Yeah, you were super young, right?
Playing, you know, I was still 17 when the college basketball season started, and I'm playing against guys that are 23, 24 years old. It's a big difference.
It's a humongous difference. It's a humongous difference, right, right. And especially you're so smart at the quarterback position after 6 years.
Yeah.
You've seen it all.
But I'm not
going to
hold
know?
Being smart at the quarterback position against a guy.
I know. I mean, like, well, Nick's is super efficient. Like, good. You know, I mean, yeah. I get it. Yeah. That's just my point is, what would Caleb Williams or Drake May look like when they're 24?
Absolutely. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Not against the 24-year-olds.
Let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go!
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Hey, Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or visit online at shop.steelers.com. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, Adam Rank has put together the best revenge games.
Oh, really?
For the 2024 season. And,
okay.
Well, the Steelers factor into this now with some
okay.
of the moves that they have made. So his first game on here, he has his 12 games in no particular order. We'll get an idea of where these games will be placed at in the season once the schedule comes out. His first one is the Giants.
The schedule come out like a month after the draft, something like that?
It's in May, a couple weeks after the draft.
A couple weeks, okay, yeah.
So he has the Giants at the Eagles. Of course, that would be a
Saquon. Okay.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I got to think of the connections
game.
Here.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
He also has...
That's happened twice, obviously.
Well, Chiefs at 49ers, because that's a Super Bowl rematch.
Oh, okay. I was
like
thinking
to
about
see...
specific players.
Yeah, you
sure,
like to
that
see
makes
that.
Sense. Right, that's great. I wonder if that's opening night Thursday.
Oh, boy, that would be...
It's pretty yeah. awesome, yeah.
Depends on where the game's going to be, I think. I
think
Chiefs are at the 49ers, so that won't be Thursday.
Won't be Thursday.
Yeah. You have the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Commanders. You'll get to do that twice. So you're looking at...
what connections going on there?
Here. What's the...
Oh, head coach.
Oh, yeah,
head
there
coach
you go.
Hire, okay.
Yeah, yeah, revenge
yeah, makes
thing,
sense.
Though. They got him a job.
I mean, right, so he got bumped up. I don't know that that would be a revenge thing, but it's an interesting correlation, you know.
Yeah. Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Ridley.
Ridley, that's the bonus thing, but by the time he says... By the time Week 18 rolled around last year, the Titans were an 11-loss team whose bright young quarterback was sidelined with an injury, yet they still beat Jacksonville, putting in the final touches on the Jaguars' stunning 2023 collapse and keeping them out of the playoffs.
Okay.
That happens a lot in that division.
It does. It seems to happen to the Jags a lot, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a hard organization to trust. But, yeah, a little Ridley action there, too.
You got the Ravens at the Chiefs.
Well, that's just a good battle, obviously,
yeah.
in a rematch. Okay. There was no... players to change teams that I know of. And Marquise Brown was a year
Marquise
removed.
Brown's
right,
removed
yeah.
from that. But
yeah.
Here's a big, this is a revenge, pure revenge game. Steelers at Broncos.
Oh, Russell Wilson, obviously.
This one here, to me, screams that this is going to be the Sunday night game on opening week or the Monday night game opening week. Weekend.
I could see that. I thought you were going to say a standalone game, but you're even going to take a step further and say week one.
Yeah, week one. Here's Russ with his new team. This team is paying him to play against them.
Yes, that's kind of the description of it. It's in Denver?
In Denver.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll get a nice warm ovation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Steeler fans, book your, start looking at it. That could be a great road trip.
You got the Packers versus the Vikings. Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones.
No, the swap.
The swap. No,
they weren't a swap. What am I talking about? But yeah.
Aaron right. Jones, Aaron it was Jones a swap. Was a swap. Yeah.
And obviously, that's a good divisional game to begin with. I'm trying to think if there's any other correlations between those two. I don't think. Just off-season moves.
Yeah. You've got the Ravens versus the Steelers.
Patrick Queen.
Steelers have won 7 of the past 8 meetings mm-hmm. between these two teams. Patrick Queen changes teams. There's some definite.
Well, I mean, that's a revenge game. That's
John Harbaugh was talking trash to us at the owners' meetings.
Yeah. That was pretty funny, by the way. If you missed it, yeah,
go check it out on the last Wednesday's.
It's like the last few minutes of the video. Yeah. The last few minutes of the podcast. Yeah. That was pretty cool of him, though.
You have Detroit at San Francisco.
I mean, it's good games. I mean, it's a playoff game. Playoff game.
Rematch.
Yeah, Final Four teams.
AFC or NFC Championship, mm-hmm. I should say.
Fair enough.
Houston versus the Titans. You might say, what's up with that one?
What is up with that one?
So the Titans were wearing their Oilers throwback uniforms.
Oh, yeah, that did not settle well with them at all.
In Week 15 last year.
Yep.
Houston won the game in overtime. The Titans have completely...
They're like a whole new organization.
Yeah, they've got all new players this year.
Coach, everything. I mean, started with the GM a year ago. Rabel's out. I mean, they're totally, they don't look the same at all. Tannehill, Henry days are long gone. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, where Houston's now the biggest dog in the division.
Yeah. Bills versus Dolphins. Jordan Poyer changed teams there.
Yeah.
This is a team that.
They're two of the best teams in the division, too.
Supposedly, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, the Dolphins have been keying up to try to knock off the Bills. They didn't get it done last year.
They went all in again. I mean, their salary cap situation's weird. So, total side note, but I've just been kicking it around. Like, if they go sign Odell Beckham or draft a receiver high, I don't know that they'll be able to afford Waddle.
That's what I keep saying.
I know you brought that up a couple times.
I keep bringing it up. Like,
but that one sticks out more than Devontae Smith or some of the other names we've mentioned because their cap is, we used to make fun of the Chargers
bonkers.
This time last year. It's worse for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. And they haven't signed Tua.
Right.
You're right.
They got to do that.
You're right. Somebody's going to have to go.
And then the final one on here is the Ravens versus the Bengals. Well, we saw Geno Stone change mm-hmm. teams.
There was a lot of AFC North.
Poaching.
Yeah, poaching. Yeah, exactly. I didn't know what word to use. And Burrow should be back, hopefully. And, Burrow versus Lamar. Can the Bengals get back to being a double-digit win type team?
Yeah.
Who knows? You know.
No Browns games on here. Lots of Steelers and Ravens and Bengals.
Yeah.
No Browns.
Yeah. That's a good point. I'm sure there's a lot of other, like, Barkley situations.
One thing we kicked around a little bit, and we talked about it the last day we were down. We didn't talk about it on the air, but so this year, Hard Knocks is actually going to focus on a division.
Oh, right. Just sneaky.
Is there any doubt that it's probably going to be the AFC North?
I mean, you look at win-loss totals, it's by far the best last year.
Yeah.
And that's even without Burrow for much of the year. I'm going to say Watson, too, but I mean, I don't know that he makes
them better. Is there a more intriguing division in football?
No. I mean, the rivalries are built in and great.
You've got two potential MVP candidates in the division.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
like Russell Wilson's
one team
just brought in a
potential future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, I mean Harbaugh, Tomlin, Steelers, Ravens. Two Ohio teams. Things like that too.
And they're all those games. Even like Baltimore to Cleveland is not a bad drive.
No,
Baltimore to Cincinnati is not a bad drive.
Kind of the same neck of the woods.
You could get back and forth between those four cities. Maybe easier than any other division in the league.
Yeah, there's no Dallas in the East or Miami in the East to screw you all up. I mean, you could drive everywhere. Is that the only division you could drive everywhere?
I think it's pretty much because you're not going to drive in
the NFC North.
No, I mean, Minnesota to Detroit is a hike.
It's not it's not as close as you think.
Let alone Chicago.
There's a lot of territory there.
Chicago, Detroit, and Green Bay are pretty easy, but mm-hmm. I think like Minnesota's like 6 hours or more from,
that's on the other
from
side
Green
of the wall.
Bay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the other side of the wall.
It's a hike.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is I think it's not a secret that the Steelers are not super excited to be the Hard Knocks team.
No.
But this way, you still get them.
Right.
You get a quarter of them, but
the Bengals,
still be
the Browns, and the Ravens have all done it.
Have they?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the day is coming, but this might be a way to
circumvent the rules. There are some teams
that would sell like
want
crazy.
Nothing to do with Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. The Steelers being one of them.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't
eat it. Yeah. But yeah, maybe when we're doing, they'll catch us at Sharky's one night,
or they'll be taping the show as we talk about, training camp shows.
Oh,
or something.
I'm sure. Yeah, we may our little mugs might end up on there some way, shape, or form.
I hope not. We got faces made for radio.
Yes. <That's... laughs> we did some YouTube stuff from Orlando, but yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Let's get to another break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. That's going to do it for hour number one of The Drive. We'll be back with hour number two right after this.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.